The scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 24, verses 36b to 48. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for your word and for the way in which your word speaks to our hearts and to our minds. Open our hearts and minds now, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear what it is you have to say to us. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand in honor of God's word. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In her book, The God Who Hung on the Cross, journalist Ellen Vaughn retells an absolutely gripping story of how the gospel came to a village in Cambodia. In September 1999, Pastor Tu Sang traveled to Kampong Tom province in northern Cambodia. Throughout that isolated area, most villagers had cast their lot with Buddhism or Spiritism. Christianity was virtually unheard of. But much to Seng's surprise, when he arrived in one small rural village, the people warmly embraced him and the message about Jesus. When he asked the villagers about their openness to the gospel, an old woman shuffled forward, bowed, and grasped Seng's hands. And she said, "We have been waiting for you for 20 years. And then she stood and she told him the story of the mysterious God who hung on the cross. In the 1970s, the Khmer Rouge, the brutal communist-led regime, took over Cambodia. They destroyed everything in its path. When the soldiers finally descended on this particular rural northern village in 1979, they immediately rounded up all of the villagers and they forced them to start digging their graves. After the villagers had finished digging, they prepared themselves to die. Some screamed to Buddha. Others screamed to demon spirits, or some screamed to their ancestors. One of the women started to cry out for help based on a childhood memory, a story her mother had told her about a God who had hung on a cross. The woman prayed to the unknown God on a cross. "Surely, if this God had known suffering, he would surely have compassion on each of them." Suddenly, her solitary cry became one of a great wail that the entire village started praying, to the God who had suffered and hung on a cross. As they continued facing their own graves, the wailing slowly turned to a quiet crying. There was an eerie silence in that muggy jungle air. Slowly, as they dared to turn and face their captors, they discovered that the soldiers were gone. As the old woman finished telling this story, she told Pastor Singh that ever since that humid day 20 years ago, when all the villagers had been crying out to this unknown God, they have been waiting for someone to come and share with them the rest of the story about the unknown God who hung on a cross. Today, our scripture passage from Luke's gospel account tells us the rest of the story of the God who hung on the cross, Jesus Christ. Jesus has been resurrected. He has appeared to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, these two individuals. And now these two have come back to tell the 11 disciples about what had happened. And these 11 are gathered together. And they are fearful. They are unsure. They are uncertain. For they have watched Jesus die. And doubts have filled their hearts. As the two who were on the road to Emmaus begin to share what has happened to them, Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you." It was a traditional Hebrew greeting, but now it takes on a whole new meaning. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. Jesus' body was immortal. It was spiritual, and he was able to appear and disappear. But he says to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, and they still couldn't seem to understand and believe. And so for further proof, Jesus asks them for something to eat. He helps them to understand, and they get him some broiled fish, and he takes it and he eats it in their presence. Now, could you imagine the look on these disciples, the look on their faces? Their eyes were probably as big as saucers. You know, we read these stories and we're so familiar with them, but we don't stop to think. Imagine. I mean, Jesus was dead. And now he is there appearing to them. And he's eating. And he's making it crystal clear that he is alive to these disciples. I think of those little emojis that, you know, you put on your messages and on Facebook. And I think of that one that has the eyes that are just bulging. That's what came to my mind, because I just can't imagine what that would have been like to stand in the presence of Jesus Christ alive after he had been dead in the tomb. Jesus then explains to them the significance of the cross and the resurrection, and he helps them to understand the scriptures, that the fulfillment of the scriptures has taken place and that he is alive. The Old Testament scriptures prophesied about Jesus' suffering in Psalm 22 and in Isaiah 53, and the Old Testament prophesied that Jesus would rise again, as recorded in Psalm 16, 9 to 11, and Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. And now Jesus tells them all about the scriptures. And then he tells them that they are to share with others the repentance and remission of sins. It's to be preached to all nations. But that question that Jesus asks those disciples just seems to jump off of the page in the scriptures. Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Do you think Jesus could ask that of you and me this morning? Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Are we like those disciples in that we need proof positive that Jesus is for real as we face everyday challenges before us? I remember several years ago working out at Health Point, which was located in Worcester, Ohio, and it was close to where I lived when I was pastoring a church in Creston, Ohio. And I was talking, when you go the same time at a gym, you get to know the same people who go in the same time as well. And it was a rather small gym, so there were a group of us that always went at night, and we got to know one another pretty well. Actually, some of those individuals came here when I was installed as a pastor. We became very good friends. And in any case, I was talking to one of the individuals, a young adult. She was telling me about growing up in the church. But then she said she wasn't really sure if she believed it all. And I encouraged her to read John's gospel and let God's word speak to her heart. And I shared that it's not about a religion, but it's about a relationship with Jesus. When Jesus says, take a look to those disciples, the last thing he was interested in is if they had all the religious practices down pat. No, he was interested in a living, breathing relationship with his disciples. It's not about a story. It's not about a tradition. It is about the living Lord Jesus, whose body was resurrected. No other religion can make that claim. Christianity is the only religion that has their leader who died and who is resurrected. It's the only religion. And it is the most important part of what we believe. If it was not for the resurrection, you and I would not be sitting here this morning. It is what makes Christianity, Christianity, that Jesus Christ died, but he also rose again. And that is why we are here, because he is alive. And because he lives, when we receive him as the Lord and Savior of our lives, we have his living presence with us every single day. We have his living presence with us each day to remove the doubts and the fears. Just as he said, peace be with you to those disciples, he says that to you and me as well. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. In the late 1960s, when they were expecting their third child, the Gaithers, Bill and Gloria Gaither, were going through a rather traumatic time in their lives. Bill was recovering from a bout with mononucleosis. It was a special period of anxiety and mental anguish for Gloria. And the thought of bringing another child into this world with all of its craziness was taking its toll on her. On New Year's Eve, she was sitting in their living room in agony and in fear. The educational system was being infiltrated with the God is dead idea, while drug abuse and racial tensions were increasing. Then suddenly, and quite unexpectedly, she was filled with a gentle, calming peace. It was as if her heavenly Father, like an attentive mother bending over her baby, saw his child and came to rescue her. The panic gave way to calmness and an assurance that only the Lord can impart. She was assured that the future would be just fine, left in God's hands. Shortly after their baby was born, both Bill and Gloria remembered that the power of the blessed Holy Spirit seemed to come to their aid. Christ's resurrection in all its power and affirmation in their lives revitalized their thinking. To Gloria, it was life conquering death in their daily activities. Joy once again dominated the fearful circumstances of the day. Those events gave rise to one of the most famous Christian songs that we just sang, "Because He Lives." In the song, it begins with "God sent his son." They called him Jesus. And we're reminded that Christ came to this earth, and the purpose of his coming was that we might be able to face tomorrow with all the uncertainty that it brings. And Gloria, as she wrote that, also reminds us that God holds the future right in his hands and makes life worth living for all who trust in him. We have his living presence with us each day as we live out God's purpose in our lives. We're to share with others, Jesus tells us, the repentance and the remission of sins that is to be preached to all the nations. Chuck Colson, you remember, was involved in the Watergate scandal and was sent to prison, and then he began prison fellowship. And he wrote at one time these words: "It's hard for me to get through Amazing Grace without shedding a tear or two, and especially in a prison, because it is the prisoner's national anthem. And I've never been in a prison and sung that and haven't seen eyes glistening in light. It's so meaningful. I once was lost in my prison, and now I'm found." We were holding hands singing that, and all I could think of was what God has done and how great it is that he has given us the privilege for over 35 years of singing that song inside prisons all over the world. And all I could think of all the places I've been and all the prisoners I've seen, all the people without hope, and you can join hands. It was one. It was solidarity. We were one with them, and they were one with us. And we all knew in that room, and my mind just kept flashing over the sovereignty of God, because I didn't do this. I never strategized this. It wasn't part of my game plan when I got out of prison. I might do it for a while to help the inmates, but I wasn't going to spend my life doing this. And he said, "And yet God ordered my steps every moment, day by day." We all have a reason and a purpose for living here, to share the saving grace of Jesus with others. And we have his living presence with us each day as a constant reminder that there is more to this earthly life. When we take a look at the bodily resurrection of Jesus, we know it is for us. One day, all the pain, all the suffering of this earthly life will end. Our job will be completed, and we will receive our reward. There's a story of a very wealthy man who lived on the East Coast of the United States and was moving to California. And one of his most precious possessions was his Rolls Royce. He was flying to California, and all of his possessions were being transported to moving vans, with the exception of his Rolls Royce. That he committed to the care of his chauffeur, who would lovingly drive it west. About a day and a half after he arrived in California, he received a phone call from his chauffeur. The man sounded desperate. He blurted out, "I was in a wreck. I'm so terribly sorry. Your Rolls Royce was totaled." The wealthy man queried, "Are you okay? Did you sustain any injuries?" How are you doing? To which the chauffeur replied, other than being shaken up a bit, I'm okay, sir. Your car has been totaled. Again, the owner asked, are you certain that you are all right? I'm so concerned for you. And again, the chauffeur responded, I'm fine, but sir, I don't think you understand. The car is very seriously damaged. To which the owner replied, have it transported to the nearest Rolls-Royce dealership and have them check out the motor. I wanted to know what condition it is in. A day later, the chauffeur called back and said, sir, you will never believe what I have discovered. Although the body of your Rolls-Royce was totaled, the engine's in great shape. To which the owner replied, that's all that counts, that the Rolls-Royce soul is in good shape. We will simply get it a new body. You and I can have a Rolls-Royce of a soul when we repent of our sins and receive Jesus in our lives as our Lord and Savior. And this earthly body, with all of its aches and pains and problems, one day, we will die and we will turn it in for a Rolls-Royce body. Those people in Cambodia waited 20 years for the rest of the story. They knew there was hope in a God who hung on a cross and witnessed his grace that caused a miracle to happen that day when they cried out to him. You and I know the rest of the story. He was resurrected, and through a relationship with him, his living presence takes away our doubts and fears. His living presence gives purpose to everyday living as we witness to others of his amazing grace. And his living presence gives us the joy of knowing one day we will be resurrected with him. Do you believe it? It's proof positive. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you, we praise you for the great gift you give to us in Jesus. We thank you for your resurrection, Lord. We thank you that because you live, we can face tomorrow. We don't need to have doubts and fears. And because you live, Lord, we can share that with so many others, and you give purpose to our everyday existence. And because you live, Lord, we know that we will live too one day with you in eternity. Oh, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Help us each day to look to you and all of your glory. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.